Thank you, Sherry, for a beautiful presentation of the gospel. Well, good morning, saints, and good morning, sinners. I invite you to take your Bible to one of Paul's books, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 18, as we look for a few moments on the topic of the call to reconciliation. The call to reconciliation. I invite you in the tradition of the early church to stand for the reading of God's word. Hear now the word of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That one verse is 15 words in the Greek New Testament. That's the definition of reconciliation. And that's what he's called us to do. That's why he continues in chapter 6, verse 1 with this: as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Almighty God, for such a time as this, such a passage from God's word, may we listen, may we apply, may we live it. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you missed this. I almost did. There was a big rebranding moment that occurred not too long ago. There's a restaurant chain which has been known for about a million years as the International House of Pancakes. And then, generations later, as college students would use it as a place to study late at night, they shortened it into IHOP. And now there's a rebranding. IHOP is now IHOB. Now, what does that B stand for? Breakfast, some of you have already seen. Breakfast, bacon, but what is it? Does that make sense to you? I mean, International House of Burgers? Already when there's McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and Whataburger and you name it, it's out there, and they want to be known as the International House of Burgers? Isn't that they're tired of being pigeonholed as only a breakfast place? So they want to join that vast army of burger joints? Could this be a free publicity stunt, or is it a serious rebranding? But why? Why would IHOP, known as the go-to place for all things breakfast, early in the morning and late at night, discard their unique identity so that they could proudly proclaim that they're just now another burger joint. I raise this question for you. Does the Church of Jesus Christ need rebranding? Or does the Church of Jesus Christ simply need to live up to its name? I propose to you today that the name that the Church needs in the 20th century is a people of reconciliation. A people of reconciliation, because we live in a time of great opposites, great polarities of what has drawn us together is now pulling us apart. Now, if you're taking notes, I invite you to write down this definition of reconciliation. Reconciliation, according to the Bible, means that a relationship of enmity and hostility has been brought to an end. A relationship based on enmity and hostility has been brought to an end, and in its place now is peace and goodwill. Peace and goodwill. This is the name. Call it rebranding or call it living up to our name. This is what we need for the sake of our families, for the sake of our lives, for the sake of our churches, for the sake of our nation, for the sake of our world. Now, according to this text, which is so loaded, I started out this week looking at chapter 5, verse 11, all the way through 6, chapter 13, thinking that was one unity of thought in Paul's thought, and I realized I could barely cover what I have selected today, much less these other verses. These verses are loaded. And in a way to draw us to understanding, I want to say three things about this text. Number one, reconciliation is always initiated by God. Reconciliation is initiated by God. Listen at the language of this text in various translations. God reconciled us through Christ. He settled the relationship between us and Him. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Let me restate that according to a modern paraphrase. In Christ, God put the wrong on Him who never did anything wrong, so that we could be put right with God. Now, is there something a bit strange about this? Reconciliation is where two parties who are at odds and at wrong with each other seek to come together. In Christianity, the one who is perfect and majestic sees a world that has gone awry, a world alienated from Him. And instead of being simply angry, simply vindictive, He steps forward and takes the initiative through Jesus Christ to draw us to Himself. In the day and age in which this was written, there was a vast array of Hellenistic religions. This was as foreign to the concept of any of those religions. They found this word quite strange and absolutely unique.
God looked upon His Son, who took upon our sin Himself, so that we might have, now get this, the righteousness of God, the justice of God. It took one Adam to mess the world up. It took the new Adam to make it all right. The second thing I want to say about reconciliation is this. According to this text, it is needed by all. It is needed by all. Now, Paul says in this text, be reconciled to God. Now, to whom is Paul addressing this text? He's addressing it to the church at Corinth. To the church at Corinth. So we can assume that he is addressing a group of believers. And yet, he is saying, be reconciled to God. Could not we say that these have already been declared righteous through justification and are therefore reconciled? Or is there a deeper meaning to this word? I believe that Paul is looking upon a group of people who have made their right relationship with God known, but have not arrived yet, are still in process with their walk with God and with each other. So he looks and he sees divisions among them. And he says, God is not through with you. Isn't it strange that we have been declared righteous before God? That the God who spoke this world into existence, the one who gave His Son to die on the cross to become sin for us, and yet we still behave the way we do? The word that we need to hear for each other is this today. Be certain of your relationship with God and be diligent in your relationship with each other. In fact, one commentator said what Paul may be saying here is that there was dissonance, disagreement, animosity between himself and others in the Corinthian community. And Paul was calling them out through the name of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, to come together to be reconciled here on earth. May I ask you a question? Is there someone within this church today that you are at odds with? Has there been some disagreement throughout the decades or recent months that you say, I'll never forget what they did? And a wall of separation comes between you and that person. We are so prone to that, aren't we? Memories that are long, feelings that simmer, relationships that dim. All of us, even believers, need to be reconciled to each other. And then lastly, the third word from this text is that we are commissioned by God. That we are commissioned by God. Look at what the text says. God gives us the ministry of reconciliation. He also says that He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He also says that we are Christ's ambassadors of reconciliation. An ambassador never creates his or own message. Instead, the ambassador merely states what his leader or her leader has told him to say and to do. We are to be the ones out in the society dealing with the political squabbles of this world where people are tearing each other apart. We are to be at the helm of the refugee and immigrant crisis, not shooting barbs at each other, not destroying our nation by argumentation, but drawing people to the banquet table of Jesus Christ that we might have peace again in this great country. Instead, we have chosen to divide up Democrat, Republican, to lift leaders up as gods, instead of putting God at the helm. We are ambassadors, and the only authority we have to speak is that which God tells us to say. I had the joy this week of teaching along with J.T. Finley, one of our great youth, 25 fourth and fifth grade guys. There was more energy in that part of the building than the U.S. has in nuclear capability. There was more energy there. But I thought, the holy privilege of opening a word of God and to let them know at a young age who God is and the dreams he has for them. And because of our superb point leadership in VBS, the week flowed flawlessly. So we could center on what mattered most. And then, when we shared the plan of salvation on Wednesday in our small groups and had the little children fill out a card, many of them indicated that they wanted to talk about Jesus Christ, that they were ready. 21 indicated that they were ready to talk. And then on Thursday morning after our Bible study, we gathered over in the music suite, and Joshua and Alexa and Martha and Pat and Miriam and myself, we met. Can I tell you how it feels when we sat down like this? Like this. And invited a child to come and sit right here. And they said this. They said it to Joshua, and Alexa, to Pat, to Martha, to Miriam, to myself. I'm ready right now to receive Christ before we even ask them the question. And I'm going to tell you, I got emotional. I said, this is what we're called to do. And I looked out and saw my son doing it in Alexa. And I thought, this church trained them for that. And 13 crossed over from death to eternal life. 13, and the other 8 have questions. They're close. They felt safe to ask the questions. God, through Christ, reconciled 13 children. Heaven came down. Heaven came down. But then I thought back of another time in my life, Over two decades ago, right at 25 years ago, when I was pastor of another church in another city, and two people kept on me, I just couldn't measure up as their pastor. And I'm ashamed to say, at times I took shots at them. I'm ashamed of that. I was human, still am. Insecure, yes. But there was one person in our congregation, 70-year-old man, who knew that the way to my heart and my soul was to take me out to Ryan's in Seneca and treat me to an all-you-can-eat buffet. And he sat down across from the table, and we had a deep friendship with each other. He said, John, I've got to talk to you about something. He said, you're wrong in how you're treating Gary and Greg. I was tempted to bow up. But then David, who was sitting across from me, strong man, began to cry. He said, I love you. I believe in you with all my heart. But you're hurting Jesus and you're hurting the cause of Christ. He was right. I was wrong. He left the table that day, and he went to two separate places of employment. One was to Greg's, and one was to Gary. This took most of his day, and he sat down and said with them, you're wrong in how you're treating John, and he's wrong in how he's treating you. You're three good people who need to be drawn back together. When I became your pastor 17 years ago, and we had walked through everything we had walked through up to that point, and we had been through a lot prior to my coming, and God had worked in a marvelous way prior to my coming. But there was still a lot of healing that needed to be done. I called Greg out in the parking lot, and I said, Greg, you know how we used to go at each other and how we forgave each other? I said, I love you, dear brother. And he said, I love you with all my heart. I said, what we went through prepared me for what I'm walking through right now. God doesn't waste any experience. And then I called Gary sometime after that, and I said, Gary, we're going through a lot financially here, and we need an outside voice. Stewardship is giving me the blessings to call you in to help us. There was a beautiful family outside of our church who was going through financial difficulties. And I asked Gary to come and counsel them while he was here, because Gary is marvelous in financial counseling. I left them in my office at that round desk. And I found out later what he said. He pointed to my office seat, my chair, and he said, you know the man that sits here in that chair? I don't have a closer brother than John Adams. I don't have a closer brother than John Adams. was in Christ. Reconciling the world to himself. Your decision at this time may be, am I reconciled to God? Do I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I have a personal relationship with him, that I'll be in heaven with him, that I have him in my heart now to help me through difficult times and good times? Or your dilemma may be more at this level, person to person. You may need to hear Paul's word, be reconciled, and the implication is to each other. I don't know where you are, but I know one thing. There is a human dilemma issue. We're all broken, and we tend to show ourselves at times in ways that divide instead of draw each other closer. And I pray that my friend David, who became a member of this church before he died with dementia. He didn't remember anything. He didn't remember me toward the end. But I'll never forget what he did. He showed me how it is to put yourself in the midst of an issue and to do it with a pure heart. So that people who are alienated can be drawn back to Christ. This is the message of the gospel. It's why I preach, why I keep believing. Call it rebranding, or call it living up to our name. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ must be the people reconciliation. Let's pray together. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, oh, we need you. Our world is so divided, even in local politics here, so divided. Name calling, demeaning, it's wrong. Immigrant children away from their parents. Democrats, Republicans, pandering. We can't talk anymore. We shout. You became sin for us. You went to that extent. May we be willing to sacrifice of ourselves, even placing our name on the line to do what is right. Oh, just give us Jesus. Just give us Jesus. Give us all of that amazing grace. All of it. All of it. Wash us in it. Bathe us in it. Redeem and restore us. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is listed in your bulletin. Please stand now and sing and respond as God so leads you. Let's stand, let's sing, let's respond. Let's give each other Jesus. How about it? Thank you. share these brief announcements, and then I want you to watch a video. And you may, while I'm doing the announcements, may want to go where you can see the video. It's about 9 minutes, but we're trying to digest hundreds of hours of VBS preparation and immense work. We want you to see the faces captured by Greg Lenz, an unbelievable photographer in our church who is more of an artist than he is a photographer. And very grateful to God for Greg's work. Church-wide fellowship tonight, 5 o'clock. We're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers galore. No one will pay more than $5, and no family will pay more than $20. No family will pay more than $20. Then our youth choir is going to walk us through in a worship experience how God worked in that marvelous week that they were away. And then bring on the games. The adults are talking, the youth are talking, and the college student says it stops right now because we're going to take the kickball tournament. Okay? So y'all come out. Plenty of places for you to play. We're going to have fun. And then there's a bingo tournament. Donna has lined up many, many bingo cards and 14 game prizes. 14 game prizes. So come out tonight. Cub Scout camp is next week. Whew. About 80 guys and gals. 28 leaders. It goes on, y'all. It doesn't stop. Missions and ministry is ever ongoing here. But before we watch this, I got word last night from Zach and Ashley Reeves, that Ashley's father has had a brain aneurysm. And it is so serious that at the present time that this could have changed, that they could not even move him to Greenville. He will have to stay at Self Memorial. He was very sick this morning. He's fighting life and death. So please pray for Ashley Reeves and her daddy, whose name is Brent Cooper. Now, would you please join me in seeing in the faces what God did this week?